Some of the reaction on Twitter to the firing of Leafs head coach Mike Babcock. Oh my God, finally. Yes, 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 all in caps. Thank you. I can finally watch this team again. Dumpster fire. Some are saying Don Cherry should be the new Leafs head coach, while others suggesting that Babcock, he could take over coach's corner. But mostly, it's a lot of this from the haters. The Leafs, they've lost six straight, 9, 10, and 4 this season. Doesn't look good. Some had them in the preseason as the Stanley Cup favorites. They're not even favorites in their own city right now. Team President Brendan Shanahan writes in a statement, "At this time, we collectively felt it was best to make a change to Sheldon Keefe. His record with the Marlies in terms of development and on-ice success has compelled us all to feel he is the right person to take us to the next stage in our evolution." Babcock was in the middle of an 8-year, $50 million contract. No other changes, this is what the team is saying, no other changes to the Maple Leafs coaching staff will be made at this time.
Yeah, that's a really interesting part of it and worth highlighting. It means it's a plug and play. You're going to take one coach out and you're going to put one coach in because you believe that the coach you're bringing in now might understand the player dynamic and might understand what the vision that the, you know, that the hierarchy of the MLSE and what the, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs hierarchy actually want from a coach.
They're bringing up a lot. I always forget his name, the GM.
Kyle Dubas.
Kyle Dubas, yeah.
You know what I'm actually finding is a lot of ageism online. Immediately it turns into his age, and then it's the age of the new coach. And they're, you know, it's mainly because he's young, the team's bad.
Well, I think you look at it and you have to say, is there an old school mentality in the game, and is there a new school mentality in the game? You look at the sport of football, and the answer is yes. There are older coaches that certainly, you know, your Bill Belichick's that certainly may have made a living off of still adapting to the new school, but understanding the old school philosophies of things. Hockey is no different than that. And the more you get into analytics and the more you get into a general manager who thinks one way, you're going to have to bring in somebody who understands that GM. And Dubas knows this new coach inside and out, so I think they're going to probably work better together.
Yeah, maybe they, you know, both, at least they're on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was talk, you're already seeing all these tweets and whatnot about how a Babcock could be difficult.
Well, there was friction. Let's be honest.
He was the screamer. He was the yeller, the old school kind of fellow.
Not only that, I mean, Dubas brought a guy like Jason Spezza in to play hockey. He didn't bring him in as a spectator. And Babcock refused to play him a lot of the time. That's not going to bode well in the long term if you're losing. That if you're a coach and you're saying no to the GM and you're winning, doesn't matter.
You see that a lot even in just day-to-day companies and operations and how they're run. Often somebody might be brought in. Maybe they're seen as too young or not experienced enough. And there's that one person that's in between or who answers to them, but they're more of a veteran. And you often see that. They eventually have to get rid of them to at least get the team in the right direction.
Listen,
as they see it.
If I'm telling my boss every single day, no, I'm not doing your idea, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, and the show's doing well, and it's gangbusters, and everybody's loving it, and the whole city's listening to it, then nobody's going to have a problem.
So like right now.
Shut up.
Enjoy it while it lasts, Dave.
But if the situation you know, goes downhill, like it has with the Leafs, then you're in a situation where if I'm telling my boss no and the performance isn't working out and people aren't listening to the show, well, I'm out of a job at the end of it all.
Yeah, and that's why you could see where the GM is saying, okay, listen, if I'm going to go down, if this team's going to go down, I'm going to go down with it. I want someone that's listening to me when I bring in a player like you mentioned with the intention of using that person that I saw value in them through the metrics or whatever the system he uses.
Yeah, it's like that. I think a lot of people have seen the movie Moneyball.
And he's that type.
He's that type. Yeah. I mean, analytics in sports are the, you know, number crunchers are the new guys who used to go with their gut. They really are.
It's funny to see because I've been seeing in the NFL the past few weeks, have you seen this, how they have this algorithm that shows that if you're down 14 and you score a touchdown, you actually go for a two-point conversion, and it gives you this small percentage point chance that you'll end up winning the game. And every time I see it, I think, just kick the field goal. You're down 14, you make it 7, you go from there. But they go for the 2 all the time now.
And which would make it 8 at that point. Hello. I don't know what just happened there.
Oh, well, there,
if you didn't catch what I was just saying.
We had a sounder for it.
It's weird. Nobody heard
you're
that.
You're awesome,
nobody,
David.
Nobody heard that.
Oh, okay.
But that said,
just we did.
But you're right. The numbers games have become a bigger part of sports. Younger people understand the analytics and numbers games a little bit better. That's a generality. Not always the case. And
also, watch Moneyball if you haven't seen Moneyball.
Yeah,
it's your homework assignment. It's a great movie.
Talk about ageism, too, when you see the friction that comes. And I think that's what we're seeing right here. I mean, will this help? Do you think at the end of the day they'll respond well?
I do. Yes. I think this team is now destined for the playoffs.
Absolutely.
You know, and I keep making the example. we had a coach of the Toronto Raptors who was here. He was doing well. He was doing okay. You know, there was nothing wrong with that team. Then they brought in a new guy and we won a championship.
If you had like an old school news director who was like a guy from like the old press.
Oh,
the
I've had them. I got one right now.
No, stop it.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know, that old school guy. Stop the presses.
Yeah, they're kind of annoying.
Yeah, I mean, because that's a, you know, it's an older way of thinking, right? You're more of a modern guy.
Let's just move on. This is not going to go anywhere.
Trying to bait him.
What's new on this air conditioning story?
Well, a lawyer representing the family of the 2-year-old girl who was struck and killed by that falling AC unit in Scarborough last week has put the city of Toronto on notice.
The reason why we put the city on notice today is to ensure that they did their job in ensuring that the TCHC buildings were complying with the orders and the orders that were issued against them.
Essentially, he's protecting his client's right to sue. If they find evidence, city workers have been negligent. We've gotten our hands on a document from 2017 where the vice president of facilities management notes window mount AC units have been an ongoing issue. Unauthorized tenant installation has led to safety concerns, an issue that still exists today. There's still this team of TCHC workers that deal with this sort of thing. The issue for the city were bylaw officers following up on warnings by the Municipal Licensing and Standards Unit.
If they were complying, if the city bylaw officers were doing their jobs as they should have been and following up on these orders, then the question is, how does this happen?
We went to the TCHC for comment. The note we received back, TCHC continues to review last week's tragic incident and is premature to discuss what comes next. TCHC has committed to take appropriate action once the facts are known, and we will share any next steps with you at that time. We contacted the city as well, and a spokesperson tells us the city's records indicate bylaw officers did a walkthrough of the building in May, and there was no window AC unit at that time in that apartment. Bylaw officers do not do random inspections for these types of things. They only show up when a complaint is made or if major work is being done.
All right, but here's a number of questions I have here. And I'm not asking you the questions, but questions I have overall. First of all, how long does it take to investigate something like this? This should be pretty straightforward to know who, what, where, when, and how. I mean, I don't think it's that difficult now that we're on Wednesday. This happened last Monday, Tuesday?
We're
just
Monday.
Over a week because
yes,
we asked
Monday.
The mayor about it. So, yeah, he was on the show on Tuesday. Right. So it happened on Monday. You're right. So good job. You answered that question. But the other part of it is, okay, you didn't know that this unit had an air conditioning unit in the window. How many of them have it in the window currently? Was this the only one? Or are there, because my suspicions are it's not. You probably have a building that has a number of these units still in the windows. And are they a danger to anybody? Because what I would do, and maybe you call it knee-jerk, I don't. I call it taking a precautionary measure. You go into this building and you take all of those AC units out right now to make sure that nobody else gets hit by them.
I mean, they were offering the free ones you see now. Mm-hmm. And the technology,
they've been around for a long time.
It's really developed, though, yeah. The technology. It doesn't require that you have to have some sort of drain or it's feeding out the window. It takes the air and it sits inside your apartment. I agree with you. I don't think there's knee-jerk when a 2-year-old has been crushed to death in their stroller by a falling AC unit. There is no such thing as knee-jerk. You go around, who has window mounts? No, there are no more window mounts. We've offered you the free ones, so obviously they have a program in place. Make sure they all have
because,
them.
Like, as of the end of last week, they should have been going into that building, at least in this building, and taking them out and saying, here's what you're going to have from now on. We're not talking about an individual's residence that the government doesn't control in some scope. They do.
Yeah.
That's the truth of the matter.
And the question will be for the city was, when it comes to municipal licensing and standards, was it saying, okay, here's all these issues, here's all these reports we want you to check in on, and what were the bylaw officers sort of just taking their own time with that? There was no urgency. That's where the difficulty begins, that whether they took it serious enough.
Yeah, and again, I don't know how long we're going to wait till after Christmas, New Year.
Oh, these things always take time.
I don't understand that. And if we have another accident, involves one of these things, then you've got a real problem.
It seems like we checked the building out. It seems like everything, you see old photos, there's a ton of them.
Yeah.
You see all the window mounts, but you look now, well, it is winter. So, traditionally, when you have them, you do pull them back inside because the seal around it with the window, it's not very
so great.
Good. No,
yeah.
It lets in all that cold air. So,
do we know if there are any? Are there?
The last check I saw, no, you couldn't see any. But did I actually scan the entire building? I didn't. But I could see them all being gone. It would be interesting to see if somebody was just lazy and left it out there, sitting out there. But it'll be next spring, next summer, when you really get that test. And you know what? There's a note for us in our future file to say, the first hot wave, the first boiling day next year, go check that building.
And others. Yeah. I mean, there's a number of buildings, yeah, right, that are TCHC controlled. Prince Andrew in the news.
Yes, 59-year-old Prince Andrew had to ask his mummy first for permission, and she gave him a lollipop and agreed, yeah, you should step back. Don't do any more public duties. Andrew says it's become clear to him his association with convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein has become a major distraction to the royal family's work. He regrets his association with a former U.S. businessman, and he deeply sympathizes with his victims now. Andrew's been criticized for his performance, that interview last weekend on TV, when it didn't sound like he deeply sympathized.
Do I regret the fact that he has quite obviously conducted himself in a manner unbecoming? Yes.
Unbecoming? He was a sex offender.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm being polite.
Companies and charities in this country and abroad, they've started cutting ties with Prince Andrew. And yeah, he's going to take a long vacation. He doesn't find himself in jail.
The other clip of him talking about it was a convenient place to stay.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so close to the shops. Like,
and you hear that at first. Okay, he wanted to go tell him in person, I can't hang around with you anymore. My mom says I can't. And then the interviewer is, what, you know, you were there 4 days.
How long does it take?
Yeah, you didn't have dinner somewhere private and tell him, I can't be around you. This is awful. You went for 4 days.
Yeah, there's no excuse.
It doesn't look good at all.
It does not look good at all.
You want to talk about conspiracy theories, and we're talking about Epstein and the prison and whatnot. This does not look good at all.
Yeah, because everything that Prince Andrew has said, there has been evidence to counter everything that he has said, which is never a good look.
Yeah.
You know, the sweating thing with the lady out on the dance floor and the whole bit, and he's like, oh, I don't sweat. And, well, there you are. You're sweating. I don't know if I had the condition back then. And this thing, well, you know, I didn't want to be seen as to be... I had to break up with him. It took me four. What? What guy is breaking up with another guy for 4 days?
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
There's someone in the newsroom said, you know who's loving this? Is
Charles.
No.
Fergie?
No, I'm sorry, the actress.
His ex-wife? Or Meghan Markle?
Meghan Markle.
All the heat's off.
They're like, oh, this is grand. Yeah. Now we got the attention's not on us.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, we're taking a trip.
We got an update on the fire from last week.
Yeah, a fire on Friday night saw a man pleading for help from an 8th-floor balcony. People piling up mattresses on the ground, telling him to jump. That was the best solution they had. He ended up dying from smoke inhalation. That led to the question, couldn't the fire department have done more? What about the ladder truck? It says the truck it could not be properly secured to the ground. We spoke with an investigator with the fire marshal's office today, who tells us, yeah, that's right, he witnessed that. He saw that firsthand.
I remember the first day we were trying to take the photographs from the exterior of the building, and we were setting up one of the Toronto Fire Services, I believe they called it a Bronto or bucket aerial truck, and it took, I couldn't imagine them trying to set that up in a hurry, because it took a significant period of time, and that was without any cars in the parking lot.
Plus the bucket, it only got up to the 6th floor. That's when the truck started to sink into the ground, so they had to call it off. So it only got 60 feet up. Mm-hmm. That would have been an 80-foot goal. They only got 60 feet up. They had to call it off. The fire marshal also has a note on the side, hopes to have a cause of this fire before the week is out. That's not certain, but that's what he's shooting for.
Yeah, I mean, in situations like this, you got to defer to the experts, right? And if you're on the ground, I don't think that there's any malice from the fire department saying, "Oh, I don't want to put the ladder up today." I think they're being as honest as they can be.
It was nice to hear the fire marshal talk about no, like the 60 feet, and even then it was dangerous, and we had to pull it back down.
Yeah, and people, you know, firefighters, I think, get a bad rap a lot of the time because you don't work, and people say meathead things about it. But when you do work and you're a firefighter and you're going to a fire, who wants to be in that position? You know, it is a very dangerous job on the ground, above the ground, on those ladders. It can be tough.
What gets overlooked in this story, too, and it was mentioned a couple of times only, I think, that the fire was so intense, the heat was so intense as they fought it, that their helmets were melting. Mm-hmm. Sign up for that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Step up if you want to talk about how many days a week a man or a woman works at a job. Why don't you step up and do it?
More to come with Dave McKee. Nobody wants to do his job either, because he's fantastic. Big shoes to fill.
Shoes.
More with him and his views on the news in
big
moments.
6:15.
Ryan and Jay here on The Rush. Dave McKee is here with his views on the news. More information from the Bruce MacArthur case, although a little bit of a, I guess, side issue from the case itself.
Yeah, Sergeant Paul Gauthier, he says he is not guilty of insubordination and neglect of duty. His lawyer entered that plea today during a brief appearance that was before the police tribunal. Gauthier faces disciplinary charges. It's over how he handled a complaint involving serial killer Bruce MacArthur. This all happened in 2016. Man reported to police that MacArthur pinned him down in his van and violently choked him. So MacArthur was brought in. He was arrested, but he was brought in for questioning, but was let go without charges. Then MacArthur went on to murder at least two more men. Gauthier allegedly failed to conduct a video interview and failed to have photographs taken of the victim's injuries within 72 hours. He is yet to appear before the tribunal, with his lawyer citing an undisclosed illness. But in a letter he wrote in the past, I think it was last year, he claims he's being made the fall guy for the MacArthur investigation, the screw-ups there, and says he's suffering from PTSD and depression.
Yeah, I've maintained all along, it does sound like they're going overboard here when it comes to what seems to be a procedural error. Not a good one.
Yeah, I struggle with a little bit because you're right. It does smack of that, as if, well, you didn't dot that I and cross that T on page 3.
Because how many other times does this happen and we never hear about any of it?
Yeah, but I wonder if it's more about an indictment of his judge as a sergeant and as a police officer, mm-hmm. that you dealt with someone who's being accused of violently choking someone in a van and nothing became. I mean, in other words, you had this serial killer in your grasp and you let him go. But how many people are involved? We've talked about this before. He's the only one that spoke with MacArthur. There's other aspects, other investigators, other people that are involved. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think almost that's what a roundabout it is. It's not so much about crossing the T's and dotting the I's. It's that you had him, and two people died after that.
I want to talk about this. I've been meaning to ask you about this all day, but I wait till we're on the air to ask Dave questions that have been on my mind. What's the shotgun story?
Oh, the shotgun story.
Oh, is that not where you wanted to go?
No, I removed it. I could do the shotgun story. There really wasn't much to it. It was in North York. Basically, what happened was that allegedly some individual was threatening kids with a shotgun today.
This is at St. Basil the Great
College. That's right.
School.
Someone stepped forward and said he threatened. And then they actually went to the community and they found other people said, yeah, there was a dude with a shotgun threatening individuals.
Okay, so there was more than one person that saw the shotgun.
That's where the value came from. It. They didn't find a shotgun yet. Not that he didn't immediately go and hide it if it allegedly he did do that. No one was injured. But it sounds like cranky old guy, get off my lawn, you know, sick of the students or something of that nature.
Because I wanted to see if this kind of felt like a hoax to you.
But usually I wouldn't really touch it too much, but it was when police said no. Once we went and spoke with them, others confirmed the story that came from the one child.
Oh, see, this is why I ask you questions.
You see?
Get the hard facts.
I got the answers.
You want to go to the road safety.
This is a fun one. I thought you meant this one. Yeah. Advocates for road safety holding a news conference today, calling on the PC government, do more to protect pedestrians and cyclists. They want Vision Zero program standard and Ontario policies that guide city planners, things like speed limits and even the shape of curbs. We asked a spokesperson, though, maybe pedestrians and cyclists need to do a better job protecting themselves, you know, respecting the rules of the road.
Everything you just mentioned is victim blaming. The color of clothing that you wear doesn't affect whether a driver strikes you with their car. If you're looking, you'll see a pedestrian. If you can't, then you don't have the visual acuity to be driving a vehicle in the first place.
Wow. Victim blaming? The color of clothing has, you know, so every Halloween when they tell kids to wear bright clothing, but the color clothing has nothing to do with it. Oh, all right. And that sort of using phrases like victim blaming, how freaking 2019 is that? That did not sit well with some of the drivers who called into the Jerry Agar show.
I'm speaking as a driver and a pedestrian and a cyclist, and I think this girl is crazy. Everyone's just got to pay attention.
They just don't care anymore. It's these cell phones that people use when they're walking is the biggest problem we have in our job site.
Either enforce the countdown clock so that people do not start to walk the minute it starts to count down, or change the countdown clock. It's either walk or don't walk.
Now, it's worth noting, in 2015, she was hit by an SUV. She was riding her bike to work. She's still recovering. She had a broken spine. So, you know, rightly, she's a little upset and concerned about traffic and how it works. But this just goes back to an ongoing topic we do on this segment, which is somehow the driver's the only one to blame for all accidents that occur.
Yeah, listen, you get hit by an SUV, I'm not without sympathy. I mean, that's awful, and you've got to go through a lot of rehabilitation by the looks of things. That's awful stuff. No one would wish that upon their worst enemy. But that doesn't give you the right to ignore facts. And facts are facts for a reason. I mean, if you walk around dressed in all black, you have a statistical higher chance to get hit by a car if you're crossing the street. If you're crossing the street illegally, that's part of it too. The car wouldn't be to blame then than somebody who's wearing bright reflective clothing, hence why they make bright reflective clothing.
Absolutely. They talk about cell phones. I don't know about you guys, but this is actually a huge issue now.
It's massive.
I walk home every day. I promise you, half the people I walk by, their faces are buried in their phones. They're not paying attention to where they're going. It's aspects of that. And heck, even when I was driving in today, taking my Uber, a guy almost got struck because he stepped out between two dump trucks and you couldn't see him. Is that victim blaming? No, of course it's not.
No, that's not to say the drivers aren't ignorant or on their cell phones either.
Absolutely.
Everybody's
There's
got a
horrible
partner.
Drivers.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Horrible
it's about
drivers.
Awareness for everybody.
Yeah.
We always talk about this when the construction was happening right at the corner of Queen and John, and they had actual police persons on the corners, and they were just constantly talking to people and telling them what the rules meant. That doesn't mean run across. That means stop. Yeah. Get off the bike. Yeah, you have to get off the bike. You in the headphones. Hello? Stop doing. Like, it was just like, you could, their throats were getting hoarse because that's all they were doing for 8 hours was lecturing people. And the most simple things.
And there's no campaigns about it because, like, now we're going to focus on drivers. And then every day I walk home, I almost get hit by a cyclist on the sidewalk. Okay, then.
Where do you want to end here?
You want to do Barkley quickly?
Yeah, sure.
Have you done this yet?
No.
No.
So basically, Charles Barkley, he's apologized. That's for a comment he made, female political reporter. She claims when she questioned Barkley about this, his indecisiveness over the Democratic presidential hopefuls, Barkley told her, I don't hit women, but if I did, I would hit you. When she objected, he said, you can't take a joke. He's issued an apology. He says his comment was inappropriate, unacceptable. It was an attempted joke. Wasn't funny at all. There's no excuse, and I apologize.
Yeah, he's been on the show before back in the day when I was co-host with a bunch of people. I like him too, but this was a stupid thing to say.
Yeah, in this day. I mean, I get it. I think obviously he was joking.
Not even in this day and age. It's not funny, first of all.
Well, I think we are a little uptight sometimes, to be truthful.
Context, second of all.
Have you heard jokes we make in the newsroom? Yeah, I'd be fired tomorrow.
But this has nothing to do with what she was actually asking him about. Yeah. And violence against women, you put that together, it's just it's a bad recipe. It shouldn't have been said. That's how I feel. Dave?
Jay, do you agree?
I think
don't let him lure you into a conversation, no, Jay. No, I know what he's doing.
I'm with Dave on the newsroom conversation. Anything in front of a microphone, it's a whole different world.
Yeah,
really don't do that stuff.
Dave McKee with his views on the news every day at 6 o'clock. We appreciate it, sir.
Is it too early for a best of list? Can we do one of those? We're going to anyway. Why not? When we come back.